We're here with DeMarcus Cousins watching the little NBA playoffs on a Sunday. What you been doing this offseason?
Nothing much. Getting off my feet, trying to get healthy. I did my first round of shockwave treatment in L.A., and it was successful. My feet are feeling better, already. I think I got three more sessions of it, and, I'll be ready to go. So just relaxing.
How long was that messing with you, the feet?
Entire season.
Yeah.
It gradually happened. Each season it's gotten worse. So, this season was just to the point where sometimes, I just couldn't even, after games, I couldn't even move.
Really?
Through this whole season, only way I could play was on pain medicine. So, every game I'm doped up to play.
See, I don't know how the NBA works, but I noticed the injury reports all the time with Rajon would have some, I don't even know how to pronounce it, in the shoulder, a turf toe or whatever, and you weren't really on the injury report that much. How did that work? Because it seems like you were injured off and on.
I mean, me and Pete, we kind of had our agreement.
Okay.
We kind of knew the situation. We knew what it was, and I already had a plan, going into the offseason.
Sure.
So I knew I was going to play through it, throughout the season. And, so it was never a situation where I'd be like, Pete, I'm missing the game because of my feet, So that was never the case.
27-11, though, on a hurt foot. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean and your foot hasn't been 100% in a couple of years, huh?
Nah, it hasn't. So I'm looking forward to having a healthy season.
What do you try to do in the off season? How long do you really unplug for?
It's hard for me. Bad thing is I shouldn't even be saying this, but I got my treatment and. I was supposed to completely shut down.
Right.
I went to play ball today. So it's hard for me. I love the sport. I love to play the game. And, I always just get that itch. And if I just sit around too long, I just get a bad vibe. I get a bad feeling over my body. I start feeling bummy.
So right.
I can never sit out too long. So, but that's something that's been stressing me a lot where I just, I need to relax. I need to sit down and just let my body heal.
Well, that's a thought. You got, hopefully, knock on wood, the Olympics coming up in a few months, and then you got mm-hmm. the season. So at some point, you might need to get tied to a chair or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I think I'm taking, the right steps right now to get healthy. And as of right now, that's the most important thing for me.
Is there anything you do, just – get away. I know you travel sometimes in the off season. I was wondering a while back. I know sometimes athletes have things in their contract that they can't do that they want. Mm-hmm. You get to still have some fun. Is there some stuff you'd like to do that you can't?
Man, honestly, I'm the most chill, boring guy ever.
Really?
The most peaceful and relaxing day and most fun day for me, I sit up in here and watch movies all day. That's a fun day for me, just to be able to relax and
right.
just enjoy myself and not be DeMarcus Cousins. I can just sit in my house and be DeMarcus,
right.
So that's a good day for me. But really my way of getting away is probably going back home.
Cause, sure.
Those people know me. I can go home and be myself. I don't have to be a celebrity or whatever I'm perceived as. I can just go home and be myself and I'll be accepted.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last year?
Best movie?
Well, at least one that jumped out. I know that's hard because you probably see a lot of movies, but.
Did.
You see the new Deadpool? Everyone's talking about Deadpool. You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
You're the one. I haven't seen it yet, but everybody's told me to see Deadpool.
I did not.
No?
No.
Okay.
Batman versus Superman was all right.
Was it good?
It was all right.
Because I don't understand how Batman would have a chance against Superman.
I don't either.
So I don't understand the premise of the movie at all.
Yeah, but it was all right. I don't know. Boys in Hood was good, but I don't know. I think I've been caught up in a lot of shows lately, like series.
Really?
Yeah, I was probably saying my most favorite series right now is How to Get Away with Murder.
What's that on?
It's on
or what's
it? It's on ABC, I believe. Yeah.
Really?
It's the dopest show ever.
I think I read like Game of Thrones starts tonight too. Are you into that?
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Me neither. Everybody, you seriously?
I see a lot of people talking about it, but I never watch it.
We're the only two people in the world that don't watch it. Here's the thing. I tried to watch like 6 episodes of it, and they killed off like one of the main characters, and I was done with it. I don't like watching stuff that makes me sad. There's like no point.
Yeah, but you have to check out How to Get Away with Murder. Yeah.
My wife got me watching Castle right now, which I'm admitting openly and freely that I watch Castle on ABC, which is kind of...
I never heard of that either.
No, it's a mystery. Like, you know, the murder happens. It's a cop. It's a dude. They go out. They solve crimes and stuff. How to Get Away with Murder, is that like a reality thing or is that a show?
No, it's
like,
not a reality thing. Okay. It's a series, but it's... keeps your mind twisting.
Right.
It's always some type of new turn in the show. So,
what's your favorite movie ever?
Favorite movie
is that
ever?
Even tougher?
Man.
Yeah.
Paid in Full.
Okay.
Boys in the Hood.
Okay. See that NWA movie that came out?
NWA was dope.
Yeah.
That's what I meant earlier.
Straight out of Compton.
I said Boys in the
Hood. That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Boys in the Hood is old school with Larry Fishburne.
Yeah.
Which was a great movie, by the way.
Shot Us. A lot of people don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Shot Us is dope.
Really?
Yeah. I actually like The Notebook, too.
Hey, listen, I can't hate on that. I think probably somebody will, but I can't hate on that.
The Notebook was a dope movie.
I haven't seen it, but I know it was, I mean, that was pretty deep, right?
Yeah, it was
and
deep.
Sad?
Yeah, but it was a good movie.
That's, Rachel McAdams and what's his face?
I don't even know the character's name, but
yeah. Okay, all right, okay. I remember asking you earlier this year what your favorite Disney movie was, and everyone said Lion King.
Yeah.
Because Simba. King.
Yeah.
You said Aladdin because Jasmine was a dime, I think was the question.
So bad.
When do you find out if you make the team?
June.
Okay.
Sometime in late June, something like that.
You've been working towards this for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get the phone call, let's hope, and you're on the team. I mean, what's that going to mean to you?
Super excited. I mean, this is, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Everybody can say, you know, they got to play for Team USA.
Sure.
So, for me to be able to do that, that would be a huge accomplishment. So, that's definitely something I want to, you know, at the end of my career, I want to be able to say I did that. So,
it's been a few years, though. I mean, it's a commitment.
It is.
You can't just go and do it.
It is. It's a serious commitment.
How would you assess the season?
Oh, man. Rough.
Yeah.
Rough. Extremely disappointing. I'm at the point now, man, where winning is my only goal.
Sure.
You know, I'm tired of the BS. I'm tired of the politics behind. I'm tired of the stuff out of our control. I just want to go out there and play basketball.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, let's just go play basketball. Everybody across the bench on the same page.
Does it amaze you how, you know, you grew up playing basketball, how the tiniest little perceived things these days, once you hit the NBA, the media, everything gets just blown up.
It is. But it depends. It depends how they want the storyline to go. I mean, it could be a negative thing and it can go in a positive way.
Sure.
Or vice versa. So, just depends. But, I mean, coming up playing basketball, you don't learn those things. There's no way to really get prepared for that, you know? So, I mean, you coming up and you think, it's just about going out there playing basketball.
Sure.
But playing basketball is probably 1% of it.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, you're in a microscope.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough.
We're watching playoffs right now, and I know you're going to cringe when I ask you this, but you know, 6 years in the league, I mean, how – you see Isaiah Thomas playing with Boston. We were just talking about Detroit before we started talking. It's got to eat at you. To be watching this instead of sweating.
It does, man. It's the worst feeling ever. Every season, you know, end it early. It's a terrible feeling. I mean, you bust your ass to, you know, become this type of player, and you just, well, for me, I can't speak for the next person. I constantly kill myself. How can I improve? How can I get better? What can I add to my game? What can I take away from my game? Like, what's it going to take to, you know, get to that next step and, like, just continue to, where you just continue to fail. It's a terrible feeling, but at the same time, it makes you want it that much more.
Sure.
So it's the worst feeling ever, honestly.
Do you – I wonder if players ever think like fans. Like, you know, I talk to a lot of fans constantly because I am one, and I look at the internet boards and all that. Right now, the big subject is that we – you know, Isaiah goes for 42 the other day, and we basically traded him for a ham sandwich. You know? And, I mean, that's somebody you played alongside with. Yeah. Are you allowed to think that way in your head as a fan? I mean, do you get frustrated at stuff like that?
That's the part – what I was talking about earlier, where the stuff that you can't control happens. Like, how can I have some type of effect? Like, what can I do to stop that or prevent that from happening? Or know that's going to happen the next year? Or, like, how can I control that? And that's the part that eats at me.
Do you ever wonder, and again, this is something you couldn't, so this might be the same answer. You know, do you ever allow yourself to wonder what things would have been like if Coach Malone was still here? Could you even let yourself go down and wander down that road?
I know exactly how it would have been.
Yeah.
Would have been a playoff team.
Yeah.
Playoff team. The thing about that is it was one goal in mind at the end of the day, winning games. And the way that team was structured, the way we were, the way the foundation was set for that team, that collective group, I believe it was done the right way. I mean, of course it didn't show on paper, but we were taking the right steps. Everything, it's never going to happen overnight, you know.
Right.
So, but I believe we were making the right steps and we were in the right direction and crumbled.
I want people to understand a little bit more about, you know, it's not rocket science necessarily with you and coaches, though most probably think it is, and with Coach Malone. And I could be wrong here, but I heard a story once that you and he didn't always it wasn't always hearts and flowers. That
absolutely not.
He I think he said to you one day, it was talking about whether or not you were a Max guy, and you said something like, you know, I had to Google you to figure out who the heck you were, or something like that. You guys went at it.
Yeah.
Point being, you guys could go at it, but there was something there that came out of that with a respect level for you.
And that's what I've been quoted saying this before. We don't have to like each other.
Yeah.
We don't have to love each other. We don't have to be best friends. Let's get the job done. That's all that matters. We can figure out the rest of that later.
Sure.
Let's get the job done. Let's win these games. That's all that matters. That's it.
When you go into this offseason, talking about respect from coaches, Coach Carl made that comment, anyone's tradable. And some people took that as face value. 29-win team, anybody's tradable. But they weren't on the inside. Why did that bother you so much?
Just that, what you said, they aren't on the inside.
Sure.
It's a lot of things that have been done that haven't been reported. It's a lot of things that were, you know, they were attempted behind closed doors, but
sure,
it hasn't been reported. And I have a group of guys that have worked very closely with another group of guys.
Sure.
We know what's going on behind closed doors.
Sure. Sure.
And that's the part that really irritated me. Coming in, it was so much from a guy that wasn't even here yet.
Right.
It was just chaos from a guy I never met, never spoke to, anything. It was chaos. Ty Corbin was my coach,
right,
but it was chaos with a whole nother guy.
Right.
So,
it's frustrating.
That's the best way. It's very frustrating.
I understand.
Frustrating. That's like, I'm a straight shooter. Like, I don't beat around the bush. I don't tell people what they want to hear. I'm very honest. I'm very blunt. I expect the same from me. Like, feel a certain type of way, tell me.
So, I mean, it seems like you'd rather, if you're dealing with, let's say, a coach, you'd be more comfortable and more likely to respect that person if he stopped you and said, go f*** yourself, you're wrong, than somebody who says one thing, interprets one thing, and then you start hearing.
Exactly.
You don't have a problem being confronted and being called out as long as it's direct.
Not at all. Please do that. Let me know what you need from me. But don't sit there and, you know, act like it's all peaches and then go somewhere else and, you know, stab me in the back. So
you're very, I want to talk about your teammates here because you've always been very big on loyalty. And I know how frustrating was it looking at Willie and looking at Seth throughout the season, knowing what they could do in practice and seeing that playing time jerked around a little bit.
It was extremely tough. My heart goes out to my teammates anyway because I know how much each and every guy works. So if you're a hard worker, I'm going to appreciate you anyway. Those two guys were extremely hard workers, and I don't think they got, you know, the credit they deserve. No matter what the situation was, they came in, was a professional, you know, did what they had to do, whatever. Some games were getting blown out by 20.
Right.
Still no love.
Fans were wondering the same thing.
We're up by 20.
Right.
Still no love. Some situation where myself or any other four in the starting group, we're not playing well. We need some type of energy. Give us a new look. Give us a guy that's hungry and ready to play. Still no love. So it's you can't do anything but just, you know, be frustrated for him, you know. So
were you, if there's a positive out of that, for example, were you, seemed like you were very proud of Willie, for example, when he finally, it seemed like he kind of cracked at one point when, and someone in the media, I forget who it was, asked him about it. Maybe it was his conditioning or why he didn't play or did he understand, and he's a rookie and he came out and said, I don't understand. Go ask coach. I have no idea. I'm better than this. You know, and you kind of saw your rookie stand up and feels like that'll pay dividends down the road.
I think he handled it in the best situation. In the best way.
Sure.
Like I said, it's unfortunate he's a rookie. So, you know, being a rookie and in those shoes, you know, you're limited on what
right.
you can say or expressing yourself. Just keep working. I mean, he knew the guys in the locker room had his back. We knew what he was capable of. We went to bat for him. I know I sat down. Me, myself, and Rajon, we sat down with coach. Like, we need Willie on the floor.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
And well, with Seth, you let everybody know very clearly what, where you stood with him. And, I mean, that wasn't even subtle. That wasn't even close to subtle. You were letting it be known, hey, this kid's going to be around a while.
Yeah, man. it's not even about that. Like, I mean, everybody knows he can play.
Sure.
I don't think anybody deserves that. Because if it was the situation turned around and one of the players came out and said that about
sure.
a coach, yeah. he would be the worst player. He'd be the worst person ever.
It was insulting. I mean,
it's
really
very
was.
Insulting.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy that works the way he does.
I know you read a lot, and I'm sure you know, everyone tries to psychoanalyze you. You've seen the articles about, oh, DeMarcus is a bad teammate. DeMarcus this, DeMarcus. I know, I mean, I've heard, you know, you have half the team over here. You know, we hang out, have a game night. Do you think you're a good teammate? I mean, I know it's a tough question to ask, but and some of that's overblown.
I don't know where it comes from.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really understand that.
Comes from sources. Sort them. those people that you never hear go on record.
You know, I actually do know who it's coming from.
Right.
Actually, I know the two people
it's
coming from, but actually three people it's coming from. But
in reality, again, we had Caron Butler on the show last week.
Yeah.
I asked Caron Butler straight up on the air. I said, is DeMarcus a good teammate? And I said, and do you have issues? And does it ever get frustrating with his anger on the floor? He said, and I'm messing up the quote here, but it was, I admire his passion for the game. I love playing with him. I love going to war with him. I love him as a teammate. You hear something like that from a vet, I mean, that's what's up.
But that's as clear of a source as you need right there.
Sure.
But the sad part, people aren't going to listen to that source. They're going to listen to that negative source or those three negative sources. So it is what it is.
All right, we'll take a break. That's part one, DeMarcus Cousins. Part two coming up next. Of course, if you missed part one, it will be posted online as well. Part two later on this afternoon at KHDK.com. We'll come back a little bit of reaction, then we'll get into the second part of DeMarcus's interview. Parts three and four tomorrow, of course, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
I remember in training camp, you were shockingly having an issue with one of the refs made a bad call. You got mad. I think you walked through the partition. And then I remember the scrimmage ended, and you were walking back, and Caron got on you. There were people there. Got on you. I forget what he said, but it was right in front of me. He said, man, you can't do that. And he was walking away. He said, don't walk away. Come back. Talk to me. And you guys went at it for a little bit. And I remember thinking, this is a little bit different now. Here's a vet coming in, and I just saw it in front of my eyes. You guys went at it, and it seemed like you respected what he said, how he handled it, and I felt really good as a Kings fan knowing that there were going to be people like him or Rajon in the locker room that could talk to you. How valuable were they in the locker room this year?
I loved it, man. Just those two people that you mentioned, Caron and Rondo, them those guys were constantly on my head.
Right, like, right.
It was to the point – I mean, me and Rajon would, like, argue, we were arguing.
Sure.
It was almost an everyday thing. But at the end of the day, I knew it was love. I knew they were trying to get me to the place that I also wanted to be as a player. So I appreciated that. Like, I respected them for it. That's what I want. Like, you know, Doe and Caron, you know, they tell me these stories about how they work with their vets and, you know, just other guys that were underneath them. Like, I sit there and think, like, who can I tell? Like, who? Like, right. What kind of story can I tell? Like, you know, I mean, Doe, how he looked up to KG. I came in. I'm like, who was I looking up to? You know? You understand? So, I appreciate those guys. Like, they got me through a lot this season. I can say that.
Well, I understand it in this sense. I mean, I'm about as big of a defender of you as there is, and I admit that publicly, but at the same time, you're far from perfect, and you have things you need to work on.
One
of the things I'll often say if I am defending you is you know, look at the – no disrespect to the coaches, but look at the coaches that came in, and I believe Coach Malone is the only coach you've ever had with the Kings that's currently working in the NBA. So it's not, I mean, the question there is, what have you been surrounded with coach-wise? And then, no disrespect to your teammates at all, but like you just said, what have you, you've had to go through, I think, 700 million teammates, 600 point guards, a bunch of coaches, a team that was moving, ownership change. I mean, at some point, that's got to be tough.
At the end of the day, it's my fault.
It's all your fault. That's why they were moving to Seattle.
At the end of the day, it's my fault, man. I'm still trying to figure out how I had anything to do with that as well, but it's my fault.
How cool was it to finish out the season and have a final game at that arena knowing it was going to be the final game, but yet they were staying in Sacramento? You've been through three of those.
I have, and it was beautiful, man. I appreciate every last one of those fans. Like, I can honestly say those are the best fans in the NBA because, excuse my language, the bullshit we put them through on a nightly basis,
right.
I could totally understand if we came into a game and there was zero people in the arena. So they have my love, like, to the fullest. Like, I deeply love every last one of our fans. And I appreciate them. Like, they stick with us. They really stick with us, thick and thin. So it's dope.
Do you ever worry? I mean, again, stuff you can't control, but you're coming into another contract year. Do you ever worry that things out of your control might happen, the business of the NBA, and you might leave unfinished business in Sacramento?
I mean, of course that's a chance. At the end of the day, this is a business.
Sure.
And those type of things happen all the time. So am I worried? Of course. Like, nobody wants to go through that. I don't think any player wants to go through – well, in some cases, some do. But
sure.
For the most part, I don't think any player wants to go through that. But it's a possibility. I mean, things like that happen, so –
You know, it's interesting, DeMarcus, because I think there are some people that would say, you know what, listen, I love the fans, I love the city, but it's been 5 years. I got to go. I need to get in the playoffs. It's not happening. We're getting another draft pick. We're getting another coach.
Mm-hmm.
I need to move on. It's best for both sides. And I get every time I ask you, I get a very, very clear impression that you very much want to stay here. And I don't know. I don't want to say you feel like you owe it to the fans, but you feel like a burden, it seems, that you want to make the playoffs with this team in this city.
It's a weird thing. Like, and I have long talks with my mom about, you know, this particular situation. And, you know, she just reminded me, like, ever since I started playing this game, it's never come easy for me.
Sure.
Like, ever. It was always something I had to fight through or, like, overcome. It's every time at every level, it was something I had to overcome. And it's like, she reminded me, like, every time when I was in that moment, like, I was always in these deep, like, dark moods, and she was like, you know, you're going to get through it. Keep fighting through it. But at the end of the day, I still overcame it. Like, I still made it through. She had to remind me of that. So she was like, what's the difference now? So, like, why are you acting like this is something new to you? Guess what, son? You're going to overcome this as well.
Right.
Keep fighting, and you're going to get through. So that's basically where I'm at with it. But I'm very impatient.
Yeah.
And I want it now. Like, I want it now. I don't want to keep waiting. I don't want to go through the process. I want it right now. And I've grown – since I've been here, I've grown an attachment to this city. Like, the way these people treat me, the way – the love they, you know, they give out toward me and, you know, vice versa. I feel like I have an attachment, and it's something that I do owe to this city. I want to be the person to bring this city back to the glory days. I want to grow myself and this city all together. I want to bring us back to those glory days. So – that's where I'm at with it. This is like a personal vendetta for me. So that's where I'm at with it.
Well, let's talk about the frustration, because there's a lot of theories. You know, you technical fouls on the floor. If there's one knock, the biggest knock on you that people say is controlling your emotions on the floor. I've asked you before. You say that's me. That's who I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true. I said once on the radio, it was after you got your suspension. And somebody called in and said, does he not realize that he gets one more technical foul, he's going to lose 100 and something grand and be suspended? And I said, I think if the fine was $10 million, I think he probably still would have the technical, because I don't think in the moment when you're frustrated, I don't think you're sitting there thinking I'm going to get a technical foul. I think you're just pissed off.
You're absolutely right. But if it was 10 million, it'd be pretty hard to focus right on the game. I think I'm thinking about that 10 million.
You'd be walking around on Valium or something so you don't get upset all game.
Yeah.
But here, you know, and again, not to get too psycho analysis here, but I was, when I was a kid, I never cried. The only time I ever cried was in Little League when I struck out. I was an angry crier. I cried only when I was frustrated and I didn't know what to do and I didn't know how to react. And sometimes I wonder when I watch you out on the floor, not to excuse it, you're not crying out there, but I sometimes wonder if your outbursts are simply, you don't know how to, you want to break something over your knee because you're so frustrated and you don't have that ability to sometimes control those emotions because of that situation.
It's an emotional game, man.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that plays. off emotions. Like, this is what I don't understand. When it's me making a positive play, or I just dunked over two guys and I'm screaming in the crowd, going crazy, that emotion is okay. I'm still emotional, but that is okay.
Sure.
But when I'm emotional and it's something that I don't agree with, then all of a sudden it's a problem. But you're totally fine with the other emotional guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm an emotional guy. You got to – that comes with it.
I think the answer – I think the problem there – now, if you got technicals for the good emotions.
Technicals. I mean, trust me. I'm not a guy that's – I'm not going out there on the night like I'm getting a take tonight. Oh, I'm getting ejected tonight. Sure. I'm going to let this ref know how sure. I feel. I'm not going out there doing that. But not to make an excuse for myself, what is the difference? Well, I know what the difference is. But what's the difference between myself or Draymond or Blake or LeBron or whatever the case may be? What's the difference? They are winning.
Yeah. Winning playoffs, that, but at the same time, you mentioned Draymond.
If I ever did what this guy does on the court, they would probably kick me out of the league.
I said it 3 days ago. Who did he throw down in the backcourt? I said you'd have been suspended a year.
But they glorify him.
Right. Well, he's on a winning team. That's why.
But I've been quoted also.
Sure.
When you're on a winning team, everything's swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Then. But me, we want to sit here and focus on technicals, not anything positive, but let's focus on all the negative stuff.